I'd like to read some of the most comforting words in all the Bible, the English language, from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel this evening. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Before I try to preach this evening, I wish that we could spend just a little bit of time, perhaps an extended period of time, in some directed prayer. Came to my mind this morning after I finished leading the congregation in prayer that I had not prayed for the hostages in Iran publicly. And just goes to show you that something, even an agony that drags on and on and on, pretty soon we get used to it, and I don't want to get used to that. I want to lead the congregation every time we meet in prayer, and I want you to pray for them. And then it has come to my mind, Mary Beth Constantine reminded me this morning that Henry Constantine, who was a member of our congregation for a number of years, has been taken back to the hospital. I wish we could pray for him tonight. And then perhaps I'll direct you in some other prayers, if you will. Let's spend 3 or 4 minutes in prayer. Will you bow your heads? And don't let me just pray now, but let's pray together. Will you make this an exercise in reaching to God? Our Father, we thank you for these words of comfort, and while they'll be the basis of what I want to speak about this evening, we think of these last few words that we've read. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's pretty powerful, Lord. And we don't understand all the ramifications, and we realize that maybe one's praying for rain and somebody else is praying for sunshine, and we bow to your sovereign will. As Dr. Irwin told us this morning, you're sovereign, and you're good, and you're faithful. Now we pray, our Father, as a congregation, we unite our faith, and we join with all other people of faith and goodwill in praying for the situation in Iran. Lord, if we could just have our way, we'd like to have you miraculously transport those people out of there. But we do pray that you will protect them and put your hand upon them, and to glorify your name, we ask if it be possible that you will bring them out. We pray, Father, for Mr. Constantine in the hospital. We pray that you will be very near to him. Pray, Lord, for the family of Mrs. Watson. Many do not know, and yet we lift her to you this morning, this evening. And then, Father, we pray that you'll make us sensitive to each other here tonight. And I would ask you, as I'm praying, to pray for those around about you tonight. There are people here in this service that need the peace that Jesus is talking about. Not that they've strayed or they're backslidden, but they're hurting. And will you pray for that young person that's hurting? Will you pray for that father, that mother? Will you really pray, Lord, let my prayers do something for a person in this room tonight? Then I would ask you to let your mind open up, and perhaps there's somebody that's not in this room tonight that you'd like to pray for, a loved one. And our united faith, as we believe God will give us anything we ask in His name, you want to pray for someone that's not here tonight. And then finally, I wonder if you'd pray for me, your pastor, that I might be able to break the bread of life. Pray that God will touch our lips to speak and our ears to hear. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Jesus said, I'm going away. However, if I go, I'm going to come back and get you. But in the meanwhile, verse 4, where I'm going, you know, and you know the way. I want to talk tonight about another facet of our relationship with God through Christ. I'm so glad for Thomas. Every time he speaks up, we call him Doubting Thomas, but you know, he says just exactly what I'm thinking. He wants to be sure. And he speaks for me here. Jesus is giving this discourse, and he's saying, I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to be with the Father, and it's wonderful what I'm going to do, and I'm going to come back and get you. And where I'm going, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas says, hold on. He said, I don't know where you're going. And frankly, how can I know the way? Thomas speaks for me. None of us really tonight knows where heaven is. We believe by faith that heaven is a place. And yet if it comes right down to it, none of us can get there on our own. We don't know any more than Thomas knew. We don't know how to get there. And yet Jesus said, in essence, in the relationship that you, Thomas, have with me, if you really know me, you have all you really need to know. And he said, I myself, Jesus, am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. Then he went on to tell them about this way, the way of faith. They actually knew more than they knew that they knew. Thomas already did know the way to heaven, but Jesus was explaining it to him. He went on to tell him that this was a way of power. He said, if you will walk with me, if you will continue this relationship with me, even after I'm gone, but after I've sent you the Spirit, he said, the works that you've seen me do, but he said, even greater works than these you shall do because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do. What a powerful way. This way, he said, will be a way of confidence. For in verse 23, he says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. A way of tremendous confidence. Then, of course, the whole chapter is about peace, and he says that I am the way of peace. He says, peace I leave with you. Verse 27, not as the world gives, but he says, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to look this evening at this idea of Jesus himself being the way to heaven. Way, the word way means a method. Do it this way. A way of study, a way of praying, a way of sharing. Sometimes we get the idea that being a Christian involves all these things of discipline. And if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to do these things. And by the way, you do. But Jesus himself is our method of studying until we study not just to know, but to know more about Jesus. We pray not just because if we don't pray, the devil will get us. But we pray in order to draw near to him, to make that relationship with him what it ought to be. We are to witness and to share, but not because it's a duty. But we want to talk about the one who is precious to us. We share with others what Jesus is to us. If you forget the canned witness that you've learned, if Jesus has done something for you, if Jesus is real in your life and you can just blurt that out somehow, perhaps that would be more effective than all the text proofs and scripture methods going to share Jesus Christ. And obedience is not so much submitting our will to do what we really don't want to do and what seems useless to us. My, how well Faith Hooper put it this evening. What a tremendous testimony. I just appreciate that. We could have given an altar call after that, Faith. But obedience to the living Christ. It's not a mysticism where we go into a monastery and meditate and somehow mysteriously comes to us the will of God. But Jesus is a living, breathing reality to us. And as we read his word, he has a way of getting through to us and showing us how, in the terms of method, how to live the Christian life. He is our pattern. Then way also means direction, purpose and meaning in life. Jesus is the only assurance we have that our life will not be wasted. Everything apart from Jesus Christ ultimately is lost and forgotten. Even the great pyramids one day will be just a memory. They've been there a long time. I hope to see them someday. I think they'll be there as long as I'm around. But one day they'll just be a memory. And yet we all have a chance to have a life that makes an eternal difference. And if you let Jesus live in you, your relationship with him will make a difference in some other person's life. And they'll be in heaven through all eternity because you let Jesus love and live through you. And so way means direction. And then way also means living like Jesus did in persevering faith. We read in the 12th chapter of Hebrews that he endured the cross. He finished the course. And in the second chapter of Timothy is a kind of a precious picture there of how we need to persevere. Paul tells Timothy, the way to live a Christian life is like a soldier. The way to live a Christian life is like an athlete. The way to live a Christian life is like a farmer. Three things. Like a soldier, we take orders. Like a soldier, we may feel like running when the battle comes. We may be scared inside. They tell us that the brave people are not those that don't fear, that don't feel fear. But the brave people are the people that say, I'm under orders and I'm going to do what I've been commanded to do. And so Paul says to Timothy, be like a soldier and take orders. I guess all of us like to dress up and put our dress uniforms on and go out and parade. Maybe that's what it's like on Sunday morning. I don't know. I hope not. But on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we have to be out there in the trenches or on the lonely night watches, taking orders, being obedient. Then an athlete. I think of that article Bob Taft had in the Campus Camera not too long ago about the mental aspect of being a cross-country runner. I don't think I'll ever make it as a cross-country runner. But that same type of perseverance and that same willingness to train and that same willingness to stay at it day after day with a goal in mind. An athlete trains in order that he may have excellence. And if he doesn't train, he doesn't win. And yet a lot of us expect to go through the way, we think the way of being Christian is just something we can give God in a haphazard way or a sloppy way. I want to tell you that's not the way it is. Jesus endured. Jesus went all the way. And so as athletes, we need to be in training. And then as a farmer, sowing and cultivating, think of the patience of a farmer. Most of us don't know a whole lot. Some of you may have lived on farms or may be acquainted with farmers. Maybe some of you are privileged enough to be farmers. Some of you are shaking your head this way. That's great. But you know, farmer people need patience. And they realize that they're working in cooperation with God. They can put the seed in. They can cover it up. They can throw the fertilizer on. But you know, unless God brings the rain and the sunshine and God is faithful, and then unless they have the time to wait, there's a time for sowing and a time for waiting and a time for weeding and a time finally for harvest. A lot of us are so anxious. We want to tell God what the time is. We want to have our timetable. But the blending of these three, as a soldier, as an athlete, and as a farmer, being willing to sow the seed and be patient. God will be faithful, by the way. He'll send the rain. Send more rain than we think sometimes, than we want. He'll send the sunshine. He'll be faithful. And what we sow, we also shall reap. A lot of people think of that verse in Galatians with fear. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've heard more damning sermons preached from that. But that's also a promise that if you sow faithfully, if you give God all that you have, if you'll put into your life faithfully, God has promised in due season you shall bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold. And we have Jesus himself as our example. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus is not only the way, but he's the way of life. I'd like you to think about that this evening. Partial truth brings partial life. And there is such a thing in this world as partial truth. Once again, I just come back to the resonance I'm having with Faith Hooper's testimony. She's talking about when she came, thinking about discovering who I am. Or how can I be fulfilled? And how often we hear this type of thing. And you know, there's enough truth in this world, partial truth, that you can learn how to stop smoking. Or you can learn how to put your home back together. Or you can learn how to quit hating your parents. Or you can learn how to be trim and slim if you want to pay the price. One of these days I will. You can learn all these things that will give you a measure of health and a measure of happiness. But only Jesus is full orb truth. And if truth, any truth, stops short of bringing us into the presence of God the Father and reconciling us with Him, then ultimately it ends in failure. And failure is death. And so Jesus strikes right to the heart of the thing. He wants us to stop smoking too. He wants us to put our homes back together. He wants us to stop hating our parents. And you know, amazingly, if you'll follow Jesus and start at the heart of the thing and really honestly follow him with integrity, Dr. Irwin was speaking about this morning, he'll do those things for you. I'll just guarantee. Anybody that comes in to see me, say, with a smoking problem. I say, are you prepared to follow Jesus all the way? You know, 99.9% of the people who want to stop smoking don't want to follow Jesus all the way. But if they come in and start at the heart of the thing with the truth, I'll guarantee you, I can help you stop smoking. I'm not even a marriage counselor, and I can put any home back together. I'm making a sweeping statement here with psychologists here. But if you take two people who have made vows to each other, who are willing to say, Jesus is Lord, we'll do what the Bible says. He'll put their home back together. But the thing is, Jesus is not partial truth. He's not interested in helping you to make your life more convenient so that you can just find out who you are. He wants you to find out who you are in relation to who He is. Wow. And I'm concerned that you don't find some attractive partial truth and make yourself healthy and wealthy and wise and miss the fact that Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. And oh, he's a jealous God. He'll brook no rivals. There's only one way, one person who has all the truth, and eventually all other ways fail. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Thomas was there that night. Wouldn't it have been a beautiful discourse if he'd just gone on and hadn't been interrupted like that and he could have said all these things? It would have been there and it would have been great, but I'm glad Thomas said, Lord, wait, I don't know where you're going. Jesus said, I can't explain to you where it is. You know, you go out to Mars and then turn right and so forth. No, he said, Thomas, do you know me? Thomas said, yes. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. And Thomas didn't understand. And I don't think he understood afterward. And I like that about the message this morning, too. You know, Job's head couldn't go all the way. But he said, God is. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thomas didn't know where Jesus was going. He didn't know the way. And he said so. But Jesus answered Thomas, and I'm sure he was talking to me too. You don't have to know all that you're thinking that you have to know, but you have to know me. Just stay close to me, Thomas, and you won't miss heaven. I think I answer like Thomas did. Master, let me walk close to you. Let me stay near you. Shall we pray? Father, we're so glad that in this so-called sophisticated age, when people don't believe in anything they can't see or touch, that the most real thing we know is the personality of God as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us to do those things that are necessary to follow the way that you have laid out for us so that we can know you. For Lord, if we really know you and you know us, we'll have this power and confidence and all these other things, but best of all, we'll be with you here and we'll be with you in the life to come. Oh, Master, let us walk with you. Let us know you. In Jesus' name we pray.